This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello to all our Nivan listeners and, of course, welcome to everyone from across the Pacific who tune into Nijan Footy Fridays every week, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union world. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island koi, Tinidar Arona T.
Kia ora, Sammy. Happy Friday, brother. Bit of Pilates this morning for you.
Glutes are on fire. They are on fire. That's my little new routine now. Bit of Pilates. I need mobility in my hips.
Oh, I just seen you limping in. What's wrong with you? So I've done a bit of Pilates, but
yes, Pilates is for men as well out there. Okay, everyone,
there you can have do it. Kia ora to all our listeners. We have a big show for you today here on Nijan Footy Fridays. We're going to be covering last night's game. Round 21 in the NRL kicked off. The Dolphins took on the Cowboys. I'll touch on that one shortly. We'll also have Sala Tongatuki, our NRLW star, who will cover a couple games in the NRLW round 3 this weekend. There's also been some action in rugby union where the Wallabies will be taking on the British and Irish Lions this weekend. Big match. This is game 1 of 3, Sammy.
Yes, it is. And it's not just a bit of rugby. There is a lot of rugby.
A lot, mate.
Like, this is the pinnacle. Every 12 years, the Lions comes around. So, yes, it is game 1 of 3 for the Wallabies. But we also have the Fijiana 15 taking on the USA team over in Washington, D.C.
And Samoa playing Scotland in New Zealand.
And then we also have
the king himself, Totai Kefu, who has kindly donated some time out of his camp because he is preparing his Pacifica and Indigenous team to take on the British and Irish Lions next week. Here we go.
Talofa lover, warm Pacific greetings. Hi, I'm Sue Michael Jones, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yeah, the Iceman. He's so softly spoken, but man, if he hit you, he was going straight through you, probably not getting up. But
that was a pinch myself moment because I know my mum and family adored that man. Like, he was, like, for that's Jonah Lomu to me. Michael Jones was there, Jonah Lomu.
The Iceman. And hey, his son, and we'll go through this in our rugby chat, his son is debuting for Samoa against Scotland as well, Nico. So a big night for the Jones family, but let's start with rugby league, T.
Round 20 kicked off last night. Dolphins, after losing to the Sharks last week, geez, they were entertaining to watch. They've been entertaining the last couple weeks or the last couple months, and they beat a struggling Cowboys team 43-24. In the first half, there were two tries to Samoan and Australian international Hamiso Tabuai-Fidow. He helped the Dolphins get out to a comfortable lead. Now, Murray Taulangi scored his second try to help the Cowboys make a comeback in the second half, but they just couldn't stop the Dolphins' speed, their skill, and their flair. And, you know, as I said before, very entertaining. They know how to move the ball. Isaiah Katoa, that shape that he has, he gives the guys outside him time to just attack the defensive line and pick them apart. And I just thought they really, with their fast speed men on the edges, yeah, they really broke down the Cowboys' defense.
At the moment, do you feel like they are one of the best attacking teams in the competition right now?
100%. When you look at the NRL ladder and you look at the points difference, other than the Storm, so the Dolphins, they're sitting at seventh place, but they are sitting at 169 points difference. Now, the Storm are at 220. The next after that 169 is Raiders at 108. So there's like 60 points difference there from them and the rest of the competition. Just because of the amount of points that they've scored in the last six games. You know, we've seen them score 40, 50, 30 points in their wins.
I think before this game, Isaiah was on 25 try assists. I thought so. Like, it's he's really finding his way and becoming a leader in that team.
Well, the big standout for me in this game was Kenelly Lemuelu. Yeah, he had 22 carries, 274 run meters, and he had two try assists, one to the flying Samoan and Australian international Hamiso Tawaifuto.
Dolphins territory, plays it to Graham, given left through Donoghue to Avarillo. He puts Limuelo into the backfield, over halfway, draws the fullback, gives it to Tawaifuto, and once again the right edge of the Cowboys. Absolutely blitzed. The Hammers got a double. The Finns score a fourth first half try.
But the Cowboys, Sammy, they've only won two out of their last nine games and they now sit 12th on the ladder. The Dolphins, they climb up to 7th. But when you look at the Cowboys, they do have probably an easier run home than the Dolphins. But it's, you know, some worrying signs when you've only won two in the last nine games. That performance last night, you know, how the Dolphins just picked them apart. You'd find it hard to believe that if they make that top eight. It'd be a tough one.
And you've said it numerous times that defense is the most important factor when you get into that back end of the season, the postseason, and you can't be leaking 40 points, 50 points, and think that you're a chance. So, worrying signs there for the Cowboys.
What do you think about this one? Dolphins sitting seventh. Yes, there's other teams that still are yet to play, which we'll touch on shortly, because one of these teams will end up jumping the Dolphins. So by the end of this round, they won't be sitting at seventh. But their run home. They've got Warriors, Roosters, Broncos, Manly, Titans, then Raiders.
Ooh.
Five. Other than the Titans, I'd say that those are five tough games. Do you think they have enough attack to be able to sneak into the top eight?
I think they do. How many have, what would be, say, three out of those five they'll need a win?
Ooh.
That's a bit of a stretch.
So they got six games there. I reckon they'll need to win maybe four, I'd say.
Four, okay. Well, we know their attack is good enough, but I think as Isaiah said in his comments after the game, they still leaked over 20 points. So they want to fix up their defensive issues so it matches their attack. So if they get that bit right over this next period, there could be a red hot chance.
Actually, three might be enough given that they're four and against. If they're locked on the same points as other teams, their four and against is way better than any others. So big run home for the Dolphins and your man himself, Isaiah Katoa. Round 20 will be continuing on over the weekend. Now, when you look at these rounds, Sammy, what game do you think I'm going to be talking about?
I think, well, if I'm putting on my tipping hat on at the end, because we've already restarted, so maybe the Tigers-Titans game.
Come on, mate. The Aruna Cup is kicking off again. come on, brother.
I thought you were thinking that far ahead because you want to get rid of those bottom teams.
I'm talking about...
Sorry, which one?
Sharkies versus Roosters, which will be kicking off shortly.
I feel like the Aruna Cup happens like five times a year. Like, didn't we just talk about that not long ago?
Yeah, it didn't happen. I looked through my notes and I was like, this game had already happened like... few weeks ago, but
oh my goodness,
we're here again. But the only reason
the
big reason why I want to talk about this game is it's going to be a blockbuster. It's an important game for both teams, both sitting on 22 points, Roosters sitting at 9th and Sharks at 10th. Now, one of these teams, if they do win, will be the team that ends up jumping above the Dolphins, which will push them to 7th place. So they'll sneak into the top 8. Big shout out to Adam Fanua Blake.
12 out. Brayley dummy half. Goes left Fanua Blake. Up the centre he goes. He's powering to the goal line. Fanua Blake. Has he got it down? And he has. He's done it game after game, year after year.
The Tongan enforcer. It's his 200th game. A huge milestone. He's been one of the best props in the NRL for the last few years now. And he is about to play his 200th game against the Sharkies. But then alongside that is a kid making his NRL debut, and his name is Chris Viaila. He will be starting in the centre position. So you've got Adam Fanua-Blake playing his 200th. You've got Chris Viaila playing his very first game up against the Roosters in a very, very important game. Now, one of my matchups, this is an entertaining one because... Ronaldo Mulitalo, when you watch him play, he plays with passion. He's got that...
He chirps too on the field.
He's got that mouth on him.
He does.
And he backs up his voice. He backs up what he says. But he'll be going up against ex-rugby union player and this kid or this man has made a name for himself this year, and his name is Mark Nawanganita Wase.
Right, Smith, Zavala, Nawanganita Wase, what do you got here, Marky? A brilliant run, beats 1, 2, 3 over. I'll say it again. This bloke puts the F into Rick. He is amazing.
Those two just going at it. I cannot wait to watch this one.
Yeah, the crossfield kicks in that one. Who wins the aerial battle? I believe that they're probably the same height. They have to be. Ronaldo's pretty tall, yeah, T? He looks tall on TV. I've
probably
never seen him.
Not as tall as Mark.
Okay.
But he's got some hops
he's
on
got
him.
Hops,
he can get
yeah.
up. He can
okay.
get up.
Yeah, great matchup. Looking forward to that one.
And I want to give another shout out here on Knees and Footy because this kid's gone through quite the journey. You know, he'll be playing with his brother. That is, you know, these two have been, there's three of them that's playing or that has played NRL. It's the May brothers. We'll have Taylor May rejoining his brother Terrell May playing for the West Tigers this week up against the Gold Coast Titans. So huge shout out to Taylor May and, you know, for making the comeback. And now we'll get to see him back on the big scene.
Question without notice here. You don't have to know the answer to this, but when was the last time those two played together?
Probably back when they played for Minchinbury Jets.
Really? That long ago?
Yeah, probably back at club footy or junior footy.
Yeah, okay. So that's a big occasion for their family.
I know Terrell, he talks about how, so Tyrone, the oldest brother, he was playing for the Panthers, and then Taylor May is younger than Terrell, and then he ended up making his debut, and that kind of motivated Terrell to like go, man, if these two can make it, my younger brother's playing, I should be playing NRL as well. So it kind of motivated him to train a little bit harder and then push himself to be one of the best props in the game the last 2 years. So great work to Taylor, and looking forward to watching him back in the NRL. Remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Fighting to get themselves back in the top eight this weekend are the PNG Hunters. They'll be up against the Jets on Sunday in Port Moresby. And in the New South Wales Jersey Flag, the Cavite Silktails will be at Cessnock Sports Ground in the Hunter Valley to play the Knights this Saturday. Sammy, we're on to Rugby Union.
Yeah, great work on Rugby League, T. Yeah, we'll head off to Rugby Union. As I said, it's a big weekend for Rugby Union. Mouth-watering for what's ahead. And first up, we'll have a look at our Fijiana women's side, who are all the way over in Washington, D.C., actually, taking on the USA. Fijiana currently ranked 15th in the world, USA are 9th. And with the Women's Rugby World Cup just over a month away, this is probably a much-needed hit out for Fijiana. You know, they haven't played since winning the Oceania tournament about a month ago against Samoa in a tight one. So it's a great challenge for two reasons. Firstly, they're playing against a top 10 side, but probably more so they have to travel halfway across the world and prepare and deal with the jet lag. And this is going to be a really good blueprint on how they travel to England in a month's time when they play in this World Cup. So I think this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for them to iron out any kinks and get their preparation right so they can put themselves in a really good position to perform well at the Rugby World Cup. And on the USA front, do you remember the USA coach? Do you remember who he is? We had him on.
The USA women's coach?
Women's coach. We had him on.
When did we have him on? A long time ago?
It's a long time. Sorry, man. I know I'm testing your memory out here.
He's a Tongan fella?
You got that bit right. It's Tongan.
There you go.
There you go. See on there, Fukafuka. He is still the head coach for the USA team. Tongan, raised here in Australia as well. So good luck to him in that game. And if we move over to New Zealand, there is a doubleheader in Auckland. And the first game of this doubleheader is actually the Classic All Blacks taking on the Pacifica All-Stars team.
Eden Park.
So what an occasion this will be.
You said All Blacks versus Samoa.
Yeah, Classic All Blacks will be taking on the Pacific All-Stars the Samoa and Scotland game.
So these would be like all legends of the game.
Legends of the game.
Do you reckon, I know rugby league, you have like yellow shorts, red shorts, and if you wear red shorts, it's like grab.
No tackle. Yeah, surely there's gentlemen's agreements out there, but you know what it is with Islanders though.
Oh yeah, you're playing to win.
Someone's going to go one step further and it's all on.
What are some names in these teams?
Well, I was looking at the coaching staff. So Mana Otai, former Ikaletahi coach and player, so he's leading that. But I was actually looking at the official title. It's the people in charge of hydration, Jack Lamb and Big Ben Tamifuna. And I saw Jack Lamb, who we had on the show not that long ago. He is the water boy and running out there, and all his posts were about Carver, Carver, Carver. So I'm actually thinking that he's going to be filling up those water bottles with Carver. Would you put it past him? Because he had that sip during our interview. He was drinking Carver during our interview.
For the Legends game.
For the Legends game.
He's the water boy for
the
Legends.
He's a water boy. So it has on their title, Hydration.
Carver.
So it's Carver. Haleti Pole, former Tongan international. I don't know if he's playing, but I've seen him in and amongst it. If you look at the way they entered into their change room, obviously there's only 23 players that can play, but they looked like there was about 50 in there, all for the kit.
No, I love these events. They're fun to watch, and it's a cool connection piece for those players as well. You know, connecting them back to the game brings back all those memories, but also that team environment. You know, when you've played rugby league or rugby union for a long time, then you retire, you're actually like that. All you've known is that sport, and that's been your tribe. Now, when you get to return to that space, it brings back that sense of belonging, that sense of like, oh man, connection, but also, man, I'm around my boys again.
That's the bit you miss the most. It's not the actual on field where you have to try and tackle someone or run over someone. It's just that connection piece when you walk into the sheds or walk in the morning and you see the boys there for the first time and you go, hey!
The banter,
it starts, and you could see that in the socials. So that will be cool. I'm looking forward to watching that game. And then that will lead into Manu Samoa will play against Scotland in their first test match. And T, I want you to hear these names. Jacob Umanga, Nico Jones, and Caden Sitenetua. When you hear those last names, what's coming to your mind?
The Umanga's the famous Tana Umanga.
Yeah,
is that a son?
Nephew. He's an old man.
Jacob is his,
Mike.
Yeah.
Played for Samoa
Jacob
as well.
Jacob played in England for Bristol as well, with Lima. And then you've got, did you say Jones?
Yep.
Or the Sir Michael, Sir Michael
Jones. Mention
him.
We did mention it in earlier, but yeah, and so Nico Jones.
Tua, the only famous Samoa Tua name I know is the
I'll knock you out, David Tua.
The boxer.
Bro, that's his son. All three of them making their debut for Manu Samoa. So big occasion for all those families, and they'll be out there.
David Tua's son.
Tight head prop. Big, but he's like the same head.
I wonder if he can throw him like his dad.
I've got no doubt if it come down to it, he could throw some hands. So I'm really looking forward to seeing those three play and putting those last names back on the map for Manu Samoa. Theo McFarlane will lead the team again. So this will be a really good challenge for Samoa as well, with a new coaching staff, Tusi Pisi, Census Johnson. They'll be looking after Manu Samoa's coaches. So it'll be a good game, and I think there'll be a lot of fans out there at Eden Park. There's a lot of Samoans in Auckland, so that will be a good showing for them. And to cap it off, the big one, the Wallabies take on the British and Irish Lions in Brisbane for game one of three. This tour, as we mentioned in the intro, only comes around every 12 years. So this is a massive occasion. And when I'm looking at our Nigerian stars for the Lions, I was hoping to see Sione Tupolotu partner with Bundy Aki in the centres, but Sione will start at 12, Bundy Aki coming off the bench. For the Wallabies, it's already an uphill battle because they've been dealt some massive blows. No Will Skelton, calf injury. No Rob Valentini, calf injury. No Lange Gleeson, he's out with a pretty severe cork. And Noah Lolosio has been ruled out before these games because he had to have neck surgery. So with those tough losses and those key personalities out, it's really going to test the Wallabies, you know, their physicality. And that's, Dota is already going to mention this, like if you're going to go at the Lions, you have to go at them physically. And I'm just thinking with those three out, how that impacts the Wallabies' two strike weapons in the midfield, Len Ikitau and Joseph Swali, just around getting them on the front foot, getting them gain line and letting them do their thing in space. Instead, I just don't know how they're going to get clean space.
How would that look if Wallabies lose to the Lions and then Totai Kefu's team, who had players that could have played in the Wallabies team, they go on and beat the beat the Lions next week on Tuesday night?
It's a very interesting question. Maybe then they swap out the Wallabies to play the midweek games and then Dotto's team finishes off the series and does it that way, if that happens. It's a good question, and you know they'll be watching this game closely because they'll pick up some cues from it, but also if you're right, if they don't get the job done, well, there's more motivation for the Pacifica and Indigenous team to, you know, go one better than any other team so far. So we will be looking forward to all those games across the weekend and on Tuesday for that one for Tōtai.
Well, nice one. We'll catch up with Tōtai Kefu very shortly, but first we have Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, it is time to hear from our New South Wales Origin and NRLW superstar. She is a premiership winner with the Roosters. She is an Origin winner, and she now represents the West Tigers. She's also been the best and fairest in West Tigers and won front row Daly M. The list goes on. Fetu Samoa, Jillaroos player, Sala Tongatuki. Welcome back to Nijin Footy Fridays. How has your body pulled up after last week's game? I know it was a tough one, but can still see that bruised eye of yours.
Oh, thanks, E. It's always good to be back here. Bro, my body, it's feeling all sorts. I think we had a 10-day turnaround. Well, we've got that, and it's been hard to try to get back into your gym, your routine, and that. I'm having that a bit of a longer rest, but it's feeling it right now, but it's probably good for the better.
One thing I loved about my recovery weeks were the massages. Are you a massage person?
I am. I'm big, yep.
Oh, you're speaking my language there.
The hard massage, not just the rub the oil or rub the cream.
Putting sunscreen on my back.
We're talking just like elbows, in knees, in the back, everything.
Walk on me, everything.
No, I love that. Yeah, the Thai massages. Even though we all know that our physios don't recommend it, most times they're standing on areas that they shouldn't be.
Last week, because my body was in bits before I played my club footy game, so I was like, oh, I'm going to go get a massage. So this was the day before. And then the lady starts walking on my ankle. I'm like, oh, no, not there, not there. And
not
then
the gout ankle.
And I was like, oh, no. I woke up the next day, had the sore ankle, man.
Oh, is that what he's blaming the Thai lady, the poor Thai lady.
You got to handle it, surely. Islanders, surely we've had it in our careers where you've sprained it and you've got your uncle, your auntie, your dad stepping on it.
That was the old school. Yeah. We all have that magician uncle or auntie or grandparent that, you know,
just that has ruined careers.
They've ruined careers.
But before we move on to the game, I just want to stay on the massage theme because you are obviously a senior player. Are you at that stage yet where you can put your name down twice for massage, like the double massage and kick one of the rookies off? Are you at that stage? Or are you too much of a nice person?
She's too humble.
it's weird that you've asked that, Sammy, because I've got a double.
Yes!
Tomorrow. Oh.
I love it, but because you put Sala down and then you put Tongatuki and then you put your nickname to get free. They're the tricks.
Oh, that is actually, yeah, nah. But she's quite good, our physio, who organises it. She'll keep a tally of how much treatment you've had to have, and then come before game, obviously they'll do the massage timetable, and yeah, they'll just make sure those players that need it the most. But this will be my first double. Other players, it's been shared around very evenly, which is really good. No one's better than anyone else in a team. So, yeah, we try to drive that mentality. But, yeah, I'm excited. I need it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. And, yes, you
Thanks,
need
Sam.
It.
Thank you.
Also, one thing I love about watching, you know, some of the stuff on your social media is the amount of work that you do in the community. And I want to give a shout out to some of the people that you've worked with. It's been school holidays here in Sydney. Tell us a bit about the couple clinics that you've been a part of and what that has meant to you.
Yeah, FTA, obviously I'll start there from the area, and that's all driven by the Queen, Tiana Scanlon, and her partner who backs it, Chris Scanlon Nesse. And then, yeah, you've got like Oz Bam Bam and that who help do all the little cool stuff and that from behind the scenes, but the forefront is that couple there. They've really invested in giving back to our youngins, and I think they do it really well, keeping all the ones that have the ones that made it really big with NRL or any other sport, like myself, Critter, Pizza, Christian, and all that. They try to bring us back to also share a bit of our knowledge in that and upskill these kids. But yeah, that kicked off on Monday. It was pretty cool. They actually also, it was very internal though. Like, it was just community based. It wasn't like your usual put it out there and whoever could come first in best dress. T really designed it to focus on all our athletes, our youngins in the area, and she was also able to expose them to a bit of gym. Which the Yard Gym, we love that place. T, you love it the most.
Yep.
Yeah, that Missy and Pom, that they were awesome. They helped T's vision come to life with FTA. And yeah, the kids, there was two different age groups. I'm pretty sure it was really young ones started off, probably from eight, nine or something. And then they went all the way to 10, 11, 12, and then the second group was like the older ones, the older teenagers, 13, 14, 15, 16 and whatnot. Yeah, they were able to swap it. So they had two time slots there, if that made sense. They started with field, they would finish at the gym. Then yeah. The same thing with the second group, start at field, finish at gym. T's been great with her comms. Parents knew, and they were just, yeah, a lot of people, the families were talking about how good this is. We gotta expose it earlier than later. We know what it's done with the boys, Carol Matz, SG Ball. Mm. And you wonder why a lot of them are debuting earlier, and the body physique that they've got, that frame ready to go. We want the same, for our girls, but we also have opened it and with the boys, our young boys coming through. So, no, yeah.
Well said. I think that's it's unreal. Honestly. I love the work. Yeah. And when you say T, you mean Tiana Scanlon.
Yes.
Not T, your owner.
Nah, not me. I'm the one who sneaks in there and goes, oh, can I have one of those FTA shirts?
Can I have my twin boys go in there?
But I.
Nah, you're a fraud, T. Rockstar just for the geese.
See you later.
Yeah, he's probably the most knowledge
Go get a sausage sandwich and then jump back in the backseat. But Tiana Scanlon, she's Tongan Australian, does some great work for her community, but she also helps in the coaching staff with the NRLW team at the Tigers. And I've been saying, come on our show, but she's too shy to jump on any show.
She helps
show.
Our Tongan girls out for union as well, so she crosses between league and union.
Well, when the camera went up on Noddy during your game, Sulla, and had Noddy, and then it had Tiana right next to him. So it was just good exposure. I think that she deserves her light shined on her when these things happen. So I want to give a big shout out to her and all the work that her and Chris are doing in the community. Let's head straight into round three, NRLW. Which game stands out for you?
Yeah, I've got the top of the ladder, Broncos and Roosters, this Sunday. Obviously Broncos will be hosting the Chookie. And I reckon both teams, they're unbeaten. And it'll be a really good game to look forward to watching, obviously. But, yeah, the Roosters are coming off a dominant win last week. Their forward pack, for me, really laid the platform with Otessa Pule and Rima Butler leading a charge through the middle. I reckon they completed high and controlled field possession well, which allowed their spine to play off the back of that. That sort of discipline and go forward is probably key again this week, especially against a physical Broncos side. And the Broncos, on the other hand, though, they had a tighter contest in round two, but showed plenty of grit. They ended up rolling through like the Titans girls, which that's a huge boost of confidence also to come into this game against the Chookies. Their middles, I'm a big fan of Bree. I think that's their lock. She had a outstanding game, and she was really the drive for their middles, knowing that Bree Clark also went down due to injury. So she carried for me, I felt. It just shows how dangerous they can be, though, when the ball shifts as well. But, yeah, I reckon they'll take the confidence from that. And how they held out late pressure, and I think they'll need it again to defend the Roosters' attacking side. So, Yeah.
I reckon, yeah, you're definitely right. There's going to be a big battle in the middle. We've also, for the Broncos, you've got Shalom Sawaso, who scored a great try last week. What have you thought of her presence coming from rugby union and now joining rugby league?
She really is. She's what we've seen. We touched on this last year's episode where I was a big fan watching from the outside and I was able to play against her in round one, and just seeing how she's excelled from there to last round. I'm very impressed with Shalom. She's finding her feet in the game, and I reckon you give her a bit more time to learn, like, just the grind and that with the NRW. She'll build her engine, giving her a bigger minute. She'll be able to do a lot of the crazy things we've seen her do in union. Cause I forget that in union, there's a lot of stoppages. Is that right? With the rucks and that.
Yeah. It's a slow game.
But she does, like, she does obviously get involved.
Just going to sit here and cop it. Sorry,
Sam. You should be sorry.
Okay, I'll take that. We're the academy for your game, all right? Everyone starts and they become rock stars in your game.
She is a great talent, and I'm looking forward to watching her grow as she plays more games. But
speaking of talent, Shalom, she'll be playing. Playing against Eliza Lopamoa. She's also a young player for the Roosters coming off the bench. I'd probably be keen to see them too, how they go. And then you got Tapatua, Lafayette, and Amber Hall. So that's a dangerous bench. They're all capable of game shifting moments. So I feel like as the match gets on and that grinds in there, could go either way with these players coming off the bench.
All right. And we're not gonna leave before we mention your big game against the Gold Coast Titans, because I've just noticed that Natasha Benatani will be going up against her old club. Has there been any chat about
going after her?
Getting after her. I was going to say it nicely, but I was like,
Get in there.
I'm very proud of Tash. I know she was coming off the bench with us last season, and she's earned her way and her right to start in the up front with Jess, with Titans. It's not an easy feat. Which I'm excited to see. I have watched, obviously, because we're playing them, we have studied her a bit. And, it'll be a good battle. She'll be on my side across from me. So, I've got a soft spot for Tash. But when we're on that field, we both know we're not friends. We just got to get the job done.
We're not friends. What about your other friend?
There's another friend out there,
Pauline Russombale.
Oh, my days. He's on the same side as well. And Bucky's on my inside. So Bucky's our half on my right. So they would know that too. But, they'll be good. I don't know. I know it's a bit of a funny one, because I know with Tash, she did preseason with the girls. And I missed part of that because I was absent in Origin. So it was just different. I actually got to sit back and hear it from the group, because we had to go away and do our homework, and the girls had to speak up what they thought. It was interesting what I got to hear in that. But I'm excited to see us against Tash. And I know that when you go away into a new club, there's something that drives you in your why. You make it personal a bit. But I guess with Tash, her circumstances were different. She needed, to support Brock mentally. He's also going through ACL. So we understood and fully respected her when she needed to go. And I was cheering, a lot of us were cheering from afar that she got caught up to start. So, it's going to be a mad battle in that middle.
Showtime.
If we were actual media outlet, we'll take that bit out of no friends out there from Salatonga to you, and we'll put that as a headline.
We're not clickbait.
I'm trying to get me back for the union name.
Yeah, pretty much.
We have both coming off, so Tigers and the Titans both coming off losses for round one and round two. Can you give us any plans, or how are you going to come away with the win this weekend against the Titans?
Yeah, like we've seen, obviously the Broncos really dominate them through the ruck, the middle.
That's it.
So we know, like, we even heard commentators saying, like, loose A's and whatnot. But then again, for us, like, and they didn't have Jamie Chapman in there. So it's a different lineup, starting lineup here, with Georgia Hale out due to a match suspension. So that shifts the starting lineup with Sienna Lefipo, who comes into lock from the back row. But she's a workhorse. She's got an engine on her. She's got a good offload. She's number one in the comp for that so far. But yeah, we just know we just got to do our jobs, focus on our roles and that. We know we steamrolled the Dogs in that second half on Thursday night. So we need to take that with us into this game. But then again, we got to earn the right to do that again. And we didn't do it in the first half, which then it's why it showed quite late in our game with Thursday night. It was too late to get the win. So we know, yeah, against the Titans, probably for us is just also just field possession. So we just got to be a bit disciplined, patient, and just complete our sets. I know it's the same game talk they'd be having. But yeah, we can't underestimate them. Like that results are just one game. It doesn't define who they are as a team. And I definitely could feel that they would be wanting, they need a win as well. We need it as well. Both teams haven't had one so far. But yeah, it'll be a tight game through the middle.
I was talking to Tiana early in the week, and I said, the way that you girls played the Bulldogs and just in the second half, you just went direct and went straight through the front door. Now, when you take yourself, Christian Peel, Jade Fanua, and big Kezzy Epps to just knock down that and kick down that front door and go direct, I'm sure every team will be will find it hard to handle. Yeah. So all the best this week. Thank you for jumping on again. We appreciate your inside knowledge, but also all the stuff that you're doing in the community as well during these school holidays.
Absolutely. So
appreciate you and get it this weekend.
Later. Take care.
Thank you.
The Nijan Footy All-Stars.
Each week, myself and Sammy pick some players from league and union and we'll add them to our squad to then choose a starting team at the end of the year. By the end of 2025, we're going to have a stacked all-star lineup. Sammy, we'll start with you. Give us your two union players additions and quickly why.
Yeah, two players that really stood out in that Oz-New Zealand combined team against the Lions, even though they copped a hide-in. Ngani Lamape, the centre, he's going to Moana Pacifica. You're straight in there, my friend. One game in the mixer, and you're already in my All-Stars team. And Lukan Salakailoto, the lock. He is jumping in my team because he was so dominant and the best game I think I've ever seen him play. So there are my two.
Yeah, nice. For rugby league, I don't even have these two yet on my team because my team looks stacked. But I've got Chanel Harris-Tavita from the New Zealand Warriors, also represented Samoa. And the reason why he's jumping in my squad is because he scored two tries and had one try assist against the Tigers last week. And then my other player is Viliami Kikau in his performance against the Cowboys. But also, just as a performance every week for the Bulldogs. When I looked at my squad, I'm like, how do I not have Viliami Kikau, the Fijian back rower beast, in my squad? So there's my two picks. And
boy, this side, honestly, when we put this final,
it's going to be hard to pick.
It's going to be hard to pick, and it's going to be stacked. And I want to put this up, and hopefully our listeners can give us some feedback as well on how good our teams will be. But let's get over to the King now.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, every week on Nijan Footy Fridays, we have a legend of the game to chat rugby, and this might be the biggest week of his career so far, where he leads the Pacifica Indigenous team against the British and Irish Lions on Tuesday. He's played for the Wallabies 60 times, coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years, and he has kindly donated some of his time right now during his preparation. Totai Kefu, how are you feeling, mate? How are you feeling?
Good morning, boys. Pretty tired, actually. I reckon you're right. I reckon this would be probably one of the biggest games I've coached. I think the Ikaletahi, we played All Blacks. We played the Springboks and the Irish team in the World Cup, but I think this game is certainly up there.
And you were in the box for that Australian-New Zealand clash. You didn't look too happy. I captured a picture of you with your arms folded. You looked pretty grumpy there. What did you take away from that game?
Yeah, look, we had a really good week, eh? From what I observed, and I was just a fly on the wall, just observing, just listening, and just watching how they go about their business. Really, the whole week was really well run, and they trained really well. The coach was really organised and efficient. It just didn't need. And then the performance, well, it was a bit of a lead balloon, wasn't it?
My words exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, so, look, the players are really disappointed. I think, look, it just goes to show that if you don't turn up mentally with the right attitude, it doesn't matter what you've done beforehand, you know?
And when you think about from that game leading into your game, you know, what are you excited about? Where you feel like have you had to change tacks just from observing and being in amongst it? What you need to get right in your preparation?
Yeah, well, I think in terms of the technical, tactical stuff, the really important decisions have to be made around like what to leave out, because you haven't got a lot of time. So you just need to really pick the big rocks and the things that are really critical for you. But the biggest thing that you probably need to address and talk about is probably the mental side of it. You know, making sure we turn up with the right mindset, making sure we got the right attitude. I mean, that's the most important thing. And look, I think there's a massive motivation within this group. I think after that Australia-New Zealand game, people are probably writing us off. And I know I've got a lot of mates and, you know, they're thinking we're going to get smashed. So that just adds extra motivation for this group. You know, and they've never been beaten yet. I don't know what will happen this Saturday with the Wallabies, but there's a huge motivation within this group. You know, we've got some fringe Wallabies here as well, so there's some players playing for jerseys.
And has there been any highlights yet during camp that, you know, that's really stuck out for you?
I think just the connection piece with the boys. There's some wonderful players here. Like I watched a line-out session the other day and it bloody went really well. And I just thought, geez, how are some of these players not in the Wallaby setup? So just the professionalism of this squad has been a real eye-opener. And that's been the same in that Australian-New Zealand squad. Like the players put a lot of pressure on coaches to make sure that they're organised and they're clinical in terms of what they're coaching.
When you bring in these teams and players from different teams, they all come together. Usually there's like one or two that will stand up as them leaders vocally and early. Has there been any of those players that have, you know, put themselves forward and shown some really good leadership qualities during camp so far?
Yeah, bloody oath. Curtly Beale, Lucan, Solokai, Darcy Swain, even the young halfback Kalani. Those four in particular have been really vocal. So they're really, really engaged. Most of them, all of them have actually played against the Lions so far as well for their provinces. Lucan, I think this is his third game against the Lions, and so he's not only desperate to win, he's probably desperate to get into that national setup as well. So those four boys are hugely motivated to do really well and get a good result.
Yeah, his game against the Lions last week against Oz New Zealand is probably one of the best games I've ever seen him play. He really stood up physically and led well. Speaking of Curtly Beale, like honestly, I'm seeing the smoking ceremony when you guys came together, like, you mentioned his leadership. Like, how is he, you know, in terms of feeling and buzzing as well, just being in amongst this type of environment compared to others?
Yeah, look, well, I can only speak for this environment. He's been unbelievable. His energy is high. He's always talking. He's totally engaged. There's some players here who have mentioned to me that they've never seen Curtly like this before. And I think it's because, you know, there's that leadership aspect, but I think it's also because of the cultural aspect. So he's representing his culture, his heritage, you know, and we talked about this the other day. You know, who are the people that helped you get here? You know, it could be parents, teachers, coaches, whoever. And he talked about that the other day. So he's really ready, firing to go.
Curly Bill is actually in our he's the same junior rugby league club, St. Clair Comets, as me. So he played
there
with
you go. Yeah, nice.
A lot of our younger kids. Last week, from my memory, Sammy, you brought up a player.
Yes, I did.
that the King Kefu didn't want to release. How did that go?
Yeah, he's in there. I see his name.
He's in there. Yeah.
It was Isaac.
It was Isaac.
Yeah, mate, he's a good little – I've known Isaac for a long time. We actually talked the other day about the first time I coached him. It was back in it was back about 10 years ago, I think, for the Queensland Country in that NRC.
Oh, that's right. He was there, yep.
Yeah, so so that was a long time ago. But look, one of the worst things a coach can do is obviously deliver the news about not being in the match day 23. And, you know, I had to give that to him this morning, actually, which isn't nice to do. And, you know, but he took it like a pro. He was very professional. So yeah, it was disappointing for him, but you know, you can't pick everyone.
Yeah, I know different coaches have different ways of delivering that message. You know, how do you handle delivering that message to players that you know, don't probably want to hear that news, but try to do it in a way that it's still true to who you are and you know, still part of your values as well?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to be truthful, to be honest. Mm. And if there's some honest feedback to be delivered, you give that along with that decision. But he was fantastic. He understood. You know, some players are really good. Some players are a pain in the ass and, you know, take it really, really badly. And I've had a few of them. Isaac Vines was fine.
What was Ricky Stewart's tactic when you told me? Or was it you that was saying people found... Oh, no, it was Seth. He said he found out in the paper the day before the game that he got dropped. So
I would find out a few times back in the paper.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday morning, Daily Telegraph. But the third page from the back was the team list.
Yeah.
And you'd go straight there and see if your name's in the team list. And then I used to catch a train to training. So I'd know before I got to training whether I was preparing to play or not.
Yeah, Seth was saying he found out the day before the game in the paper. But, hey, speaking of some of those players, obviously there's been some inclusions that would have had to, yeah, reshuffle maybe how you thought. So Daniela Tupou's there, Filippo Dangunu. But then we also see the Drua boys there, Vode Vode, Donge, and Longani Masi on the wings. So have you managed to, I guess, have that selection headache and deliver the news to those type of boys as well?
Yeah, well, we didn't have a squad till probably the day of assembly. I think we finally sorted it out just before we all assembled. So the Drua boys came in a day late, so we got confirmation that we could select a few of them. We just had a few holes in the squad, you know, just due to injuries and Wallaby selections. Awesome news to get Dangunu and Daniela. They'll go straight into the starting lineup, which unfortunately pushes a couple of players back onto the bench and out of the squad, but that's the reality of it. But look, it's a pretty strong squad, to tell you the truth. And the forwards that we've got, I reckon they'll be able to mix it up with the Lions.
Well, going to the game, you know, where don't want to give all your cards or don't want to show all your cards, but is there any, you know, areas that you'll be looking to attack to try and beat the Lions?
Oh, look, I think all the teams have talked about it. All the coaches have talked about it. Before playing the Lions, and obviously it's easier said than done, but that physicality battle, it's just that's critical for us, and you know, that's a part of our DNA, so we shouldn't even talk about that. That's non-negotiable. We should bring that, but if we don't bring that, and I think the Australian New Zealand at times didn't bring that last Saturday. If we don't bring that physicality, especially to the ruck area and at both sides of the ball, you know, we can probably kiss the game goodbye.
Last one from me. Any trick plays in the back pocket?
There will be some trick plays. So hopefully we'll get an opportunity to run them.
Daniela Tupou, he done one with the Barbarians.
Yeah, up the shirt. One, but that was, I don't think it's allowed.
Yeah.
So
okay. It was entertaining.
Yeah, it made the highlights real. That's all that matters. Last one for me as well, just with, you know, preparations leading, you've had the smoking ceremony. What other cultural pieces do you have leading into this game? I know you've been focusing a lot on the field, but what other cultural pieces do you have for your preparation?
Carver Bowl.
Yeah.
No, we do the Carver Bowl every night, but we'll have a blessing of the jersey Monday night. And we'll have a Kara ceremony for that as well. So that's the next big cultural event for us.
Love it, mate. Love it. I'm gonna give you a buzz. I'll be there in Melbourne tomorrow.
Beautiful.
I might come watch the game with you. So
and then the cultural event on Tuesday night.
Yes, I'll be there Tuesday night as well. Perfect. If I'm allowed. I'm just inviting myself here. How good am I? All good.
Right, mate. I'll look after you.
Thanks, mate. You always do. So I appreciate it. Hey, go well. Enjoy the rest of the week, and I look forward to seeing you down there in Melbourne.
All the best.
Okay, thanks, boys. See you
thanks,
later.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
See you again, brother.
What goes on behind the scenes in Pacific politics and how does it affect us? Polytalk is back to unpack the big questions like why is no one talking about PNG's political refugee crisis?
I can't even call it an election. It was something like a criminal thug war.
Join me, Scott Whitey, as I chat all things Pacific politics on Polytalk.
Tuesday, 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
I'm 2 from 2 last week.
And that puts you in the lead.
And Sammy had none, but each Nijin Footy Friday, we have our tipping comp to finish. And once you pick that team, you're not allowed to pick that team again until we pick the rest. And the score is 22-21 my way.
I'm actually just loving that it's actually tight for once.
Yeah.
Like it's tight.
The loser has to buy the winner a jersey of their choice at the end of the year. So I'm keen on getting this jersey. But let's start with league. Sammy, who are you picking this week?
I just realized that we do start again and you can't pick the,
I don't want to pick the best team.
So I was actually going to go the Warriors.
Finals times, all those bottom eights. Teams won't be there.
We've got about six
games left.
I had to change tact a bit because I was going to go to the Warriors, but I want them. They're going to be in the finals, surely, I think. I hope.
7 games, I reckon.
Yeah. So I might look at that Titans-Tigers game.
And we go head-to-head.
You want to go head-to-head?
Yep.
All right, done. Who do you?
I'm going.
I feel like I know where you're going. Yes.
I'm going the May Brothers-Tigers.
That's changed things a bit.
They are playing in Gold Coast. Yeah.
They said Desi's on his last legs. Is that right?
Yeah.
Their coach.
They actually looked all right last week in a losing game. They didn't play too
Don't lie to me, but I'll go the Titans anyway. Let's go head to head.
So you locked that in?
I locked that in.
Great work. They're playing at Leichhardt.
Oh, you know. You're good. Okay. You got me. Well played, sir.
We will go to the Lions versus Wallabies game. No, we're going to go to Totai Kefu.
Yeah, let's go to Totai's game, I reckon.
Pacific and Indigenous team versus the British and Irish Lions. This one.
Yeah, not head-to-head. After last week, we can't go head-to-head.
We can't go head-to-head. So we're going to go a points difference, and we're going so you're going to go the British and Irish
Lions?
I'll
go to the British and Irish Lions, but I'll give
I'll
you a
let
head start.
I'll let you go British if you and Irish Lions if you give me and Totai Kefu's team.
A head start. What are you looking for?
30-point start.
That's 30 is probably too much for me. I wouldn't say you're not far off it, but can you go a bit lower for me?
All right.
25? 26? 28?
I'll go 27.5.
27 point.
Me in the middle.
Done.
27.5 head start. Totai Kefu, you have 3 tries and a penalty. Just stay in there.
Stay in there.
But
done.
Perfect. That's our time done here on Nijin Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcast. So we will see you on Monday.
See you Monday. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.